The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. How you doing today?
Pretty good. And you want to say happy birthday to anybody?
My son, who just turned 7.
That's right. Happy birthday, Patrick.
Happy birthday, sweetie. We're here today again with attorney Richard Finucci, who practices real estate law out of Peckville. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Rick.
Thank you for being here with us for the 6th week in a row.
It's really a pleasure, Jackie, and I want to thank you both so much for having me these past 6 weeks. This has been a great experience.
Well, and for us as well, because we have had some really interesting discussions with you, and I know that today is going to be right up there with all the rest. We are here every Saturday and Sunday. We discuss everything real estate. Our Century 21 Quality Service Award-winning office has many experienced realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years. During the week,
feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or if you want to suggest a topic for the show, send that to us too, or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
We're always looking for some new, fresh material, so anybody that wants to send us an email, please feel free to do so at questions@jruddy.com. We'd love to learn about what you want to hear about. To search the MLS or to view our listings, go to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. We also have all our archive radio shows on jruddy.com. And don't forget to friend us on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Okay, Attorney Richard Finucci, how long have you been practicing law?
23 years now, Jackie, and we emphasize in the practice of real estate law, in addition to many other things in our practice, estate, elder law, municipal law, and business law. We do a lot of business incorporation setups and liquor license transfers, that type of thing.
And adverse possession.
Yeah, adverse possession, a good topic on our last show.
On our last show. And how do we get in touch with you?
My office is at 1418 Main Street in Peckville. My phone number is 570-383-0652. Our email is lawoffice@attyfinucci.com.
F-A-N-U-C-C-I.
Correct.
Okay. Now this week, I thought we would discuss home inspections, the importance of home inspections, why they're even in our agreement of sale as part of a contingency, why sellers really should want a buyer to have a home inspection, and why the buyer should elect to have a home inspection.
Always is my advice. Without a doubt, probably the most important thing in the agreement of sale, which is a contract between the seller and the buyer, is the buyer's right to have inspections done, Jackie. And I can't say it with enough emphasis how important it is to a buyer.
Even when you represent the seller?
When I represent the seller, it's not as important. However, it is important to a seller as well, because having an inspection done by their prospective purchaser protects them. It adds more insurance to a seller. So it's good for a seller as well.
Sure, I agree. Now, a home inspection, there's a home inspection law. And, you know, that if there's a home inspector involved, you know, believe it or not, in Pennsylvania, people that inspect properties don't have to be licensed, but they do have to be professional. And there's this home inspection law that governs what needs to be done on a home inspection. And the inspector, if they're inspecting more than one system, they should be a part of a national organization. And the written report, the do's and the don'ts, what's involved there. Now, the buyer has a certain amount of time to conduct a home inspection. It's always the buyer's expense. The sellers very rarely in our area, other areas do it differently, but our area, traditionally, home sellers do not usually do a home inspection before they list the property. So when the buyers purchase the property, they, you know, a lot of times elect to have the home inspection. But there's buyers out there, for one reason or another, usually has to do with out-of-pocket expense, want to save a few dollars and don't think that they should have a home inspection, because it could be anywhere from $400 to $800 in some cases. That's usually the amount of a home inspection. So they want to save a few dollars so they have enough to for their down payment and their closing costs. And I don't feel that's wise.
I agree, Jackie. I couldn't agree more. You know, the old adage, penny wise and a dollar foolish, you know, to most people, and I think you've seen this and over the your long career, that probably the single most important and expensive investment that a person will make in their life is the purchase of a home. And I cannot imagine sacrificing a few hundred dollars on such an investment, especially when it is so beneficial. And as you said, the inspection is purely the buyer's prerogative. As a seller cannot force a buyer to waive inspections, can't force them to have it, but it's purely a buyer's prerogative, and they should exercise their rights and elect to take one.
Usually at the time of the home inspection, the property was listed at a certain price and is under contract for another. The negotiations have already taken place. A lot of times the sellers feel that they have come down enough and that a home inspection is going to further reduce the sales price. So a lot of times we find ourselves in a situation where the sellers say, okay, they can do their home inspection. Sure, no problem. Go ahead, do it. But it's for informational purposes only. Can they do that? It's a contractual change, and they would have to strike some things in the agreement of sale where the buyer would only have to accept or terminate based on the home inspection, accept or terminate, either proceed with purchasing the property or terminate the agreement of sale.
It is very common for a seller to request that if there is any items that come up after the inspection that they refuse to pay for it. And it's commonly done that a buyer will say, well, okay, I still want the right to have the inspection done, but I understand that I could just walk away. And that's the key. You know, the key is before you purchase this property, you need to know what it is you're getting into.
A lot of times you can't see defects, and an inspector, a trained eye, can.
Correct. A professional who will guide you and assist you in letting you know exactly what it is about the property. Understand that the premise is that when you purchase a property, it's understood that you are purchasing it as is. And all of that language may, although maybe the words as is may not be used in the standard realtor contracts, it's certainly implied. There are many, many paragraphs that would indicate that once, if you waive your inspections and once you buy the property, you're stuck with it. It's buyer beware, like it is with anything else.
Right. So the seller can say, all right, you can do your inspection and it would be for informational purposes. We're not coming down on the price or giving any credits. What about the seller's disclosure? There's a 9-page seller's disclosure that a seller, there's the seller's disclosure law. A seller has to provide a buyer who is interested in the property with any kind of notice, which would be in the seller's disclosure of any kind of material defect of the property. Sometimes buyers feel that, okay, well, the seller's disclosure was pretty specific and it covered all the areas of concern that I had, and I'm satisfied with the answers on the seller's disclosure. That's good for me. I don't need the inspection.
Well, to me, Jackie, a seller's disclosure does not adequately serve to take the place of what an inspection, an actual visual inspection by a trained professional, does not in any way suffice to, or take the place of it. A seller's disclosure, as you said, is required by law, by statute, and it was enacted in 2000, the Real Estate Seller Disclosure Act, and it's mandatory on most sellers, not all sellers, certain...
Can I ask you something, Rick? So sure. Even if I'm not selling my house through a real estate agent, I'm doing a private sale, I am required to provide a seller's disclosure?
Well, it is mandatory on real estate agents to have the seller sign it. I know when I am working with a private sale, I will always insist with a private seller that they complete and fill out a seller disclosure statement. But realtors are obligated to have it done with their sellers.
There are exempt sellers, as you just mentioned, and the exempt sellers are usually an estate.
Estates, a guardianship situation, a trust situation, any transfers that might be done by way of court order, certain relationships of related parties, you know, parents to children, brothers to sisters, that sort of thing, foreclosure property, those are all exempt from having to complete a seller disclosure statement.
And for the purposes of our discussion, we are talking about residential properties, single family dwellings up to four units. Anything over that's considered commercial, and that is not under the commercial real estate, does not fall under the seller's property disclosure law.
That is correct.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And with us today is attorney Richard Finucci, and we are discussing the importance of home inspections and also the seller's property disclosure statement. We're headed towards the break. Before we do so, Pat?
Yes, we have a contractor special or a handyman special located in Dunmore at 960 East Drinker Street for only $37,500. This three-bedroom, two-bath home has been mostly gutted with a lot of potential for the right buyer. It has a new roof, some of the wiring has already been done, and it's a great location, but it does need work. So if you're looking for a fixer-upper in Dunmore, it's a three-bedroom, two-bath at 962 East Drinker Street in Dunmore for only $37,000, and that's listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Thank you, Pat. And I just found an interesting article I'd like to report on from our Realtor magazine. The five most stressed out cities in the United States. I bet you won't be surprised by this list. Number one, Los Angeles, because they have a 12.3% unemployment rate. And they are the third least affordable housing market in the nation. Very high cost of living. Number two, New York, New York. The least affordable housing stock in the U.S., the most extreme population density, and the highest cost of living. Number three, Chicago. Worst traffic congestion in the country, a 10.3% unemployment rate, and the fourth most extreme for population density. Four, Washington, D.C., tied with Chicago for the worst traffic congestion in the United States, which keeps commuters in traffic jams. On average, get this, 70 hours a week. And five, San Diego, California. Some of the least affordable housing in the nation, seventh highest cost of living in the country, and a 10.5% unemployment rate. Stay with us on the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. We will be back after a very brief break on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
Does your home represent the person you are today, or does it represent the person you were 30 years ago? Now is the time to buy a home that fits your present needs. No three-car garage or backyard putting green, or maybe you just want the simple things. A private den where you can get some work done, or a finished bar where you and your friends can enjoy a few laughs. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate will work with you to find the one neighborhood, the one community that gives you the best value for the next 30 years. Whether it's time to move up or you are simplifying your life, but don't want to sacrifice comfort, call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, 344-6724. That's 344-6724. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate will guide you from homepage to home while living up to the promise of the gold standard.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, if you have questions, we have answers. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning again, Jackie.
Good morning, sir. And our special guest, attorney Richard Finucci, who practices real estate law, among other things, out of Peckville, Pennsylvania.
Good morning.
Good morning. How many counties do you serve?
Jackie, we do all of northeastern Pennsylvania, Wayne, Pike, Wyoming, Susquehanna, Luzerne, Monroe, the whole northeast quadrant.
A broad territory. Okay, good. Now, before the break, we talked about the importance of a home inspection, why a home inspection should be necessary, and it's not required, but most buyers should think about it. Even if they want to save money, that's not the place to do it. It's very important. A home inspection may reveal what you don't see with your eyes, and a professional would be able to see after going into the property and probing and going through all the different areas. Now, seller's disclosure is required by law. We also talked about that. Sellers are required to fill out a seller's disclosure and to note any material defects that they are aware of in the property unless they're exempt. And people who are exempt from a seller's disclosure are estates, trustees, administrators, a family member to a family member, foreclosures. Those are people.
Correct.
Okay.
And also that it's only applicable to residential properties.
Right. Anything over four units is commercial, considered commercial, and they don't have to abide by the seller's property disclosure law. Now, here's a question for you. On people that are exempt, oftentimes as an agent, I'm showing properties, listing offices, there's no disclosure, it's an estate. So they just sign the little box that says estate, and they're the executor, and they don't fill anything out. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, it is, because they're exempt. They're not required under the Act, Jackie, to have to complete one. When possible, I will always advise my clients or request of the realtors to have them sign it anyway. Even if, tell us what you do know. If you know anything, if you don't know, write I don't know or no knowledge. But it's best to have something.
Well, I wanted to hear what you said, because you legally know, and I'm not supposed to practice law, so there would be considered, if I'm legally advising someone, the unauthorized practice of law. But I would always take the position that, you know, oftentimes in an estate situation, they may not have lived in the house. It's usually to a son or a daughter, a family member that hasn't resided in the property in the recent past, but may have some sort of knowledge concerning that property. Well, like, when was it last occupied? So when I get a blank seller's disclosure and they just sign the little executor box, I think to myself, but you do know when it was last occupied, or if there's water in the basement, or if there's dampness in the basement. Is it going too far to have that person fill in what they do know? It's a material defect.
I think it's not. I think it's a great idea, actually. And that's, again, we try to accomplish that. Tell us what you know. You know, and I would explain it to the seller's representatives that you're actually protecting yourself. As their lawyer, I'd be telling them. The key is be upfront, be honest. You don't want a buyer coming back later on claiming that you misrepresented them or you committed fraud. And these are all ways to just lay it on the table. Let's be honest. That's, you know, be honest about it.
Right. Don't hide.
Correct.
Because that buyer is going to eventually find out whatever it is that you didn't want them to know. And that is absolutely a recipe for disaster, correct?
Absolutely. You're begging for a lawsuit. And, you know, Jackie, along those lines, one of the ways that a buyer can come back later on at a seller is a claim for a fraudulent misrepresentation, intentional misrepresentation, negligent misrepresentation. Basically, you have to show fraud. It is a heavy burden. And those cases are very few and far between, but why even begin to open the door for something like that by refusing to tell a potential buyer what you know?
Right. I agree. Okay. So in terms of the seller's disclosure, sometimes though, you know, I've had attorneys advise clients if there's a question and you check no, there's really no reason to go on to the line that says explain any yes answers, and there's a line. You said no, don't write anything further. But people seem to think, read into some of the questions instead of saying yes or no, and go on to making explanations or representations that they really don't need to. In terms of what you tell your clients, how do you tell them to fill out the form?
Well, I tell them to fill it out completely and honestly, naturally. That is a requirement of the law. And speaking of the part about completely, I do have a story to share. A woman had called my office about a year ago seeking representation after the fact. She had purchased a home in a nearby municipality, and she was explaining to me on the phone that it came to her attention that whenever it rained, the property experienced severe flooding in the backyard area. So when I met with the client, I had asked her to give me everything. I did not represent her at the closing, and unfortunately, she was not represented by an attorney. I asked her to provide to me the original agreement of sale, the settlement documents, and last but not least, the seller disclosure. Well, in the course of my investigation, I had gone through the seller disclosure. It was signed and initialed by the seller, and it was signed and initialed by the buyers accepting it and having read it. It was discovered that the problem was that this home was a fairly new construction, maybe over the past 5 years. It was built in a low-lying lot, and it was well known in the whole development. And this was an established development, so it was unusual that this home was only built in 5 years. Most of the homes in there had been built 20 years prior, but it was well known that the lot had been a very low-lying lot, was taking on a lot of water, and to make matters worse, the builder of the property had built the house too close to the ground. The key to all this is that when I got to the question, so the listeners understand that the seller's disclosure is basically it's listed in topics, outside, roof, basement, electrical, etc. There is a section regarding flooding, and it was a question, do you know of any past or present drainage or flooding problems affecting the property? Check yes or check no. Guess what?
Check no.
There was nothing checked.
Nothing.
The moral to the story is there was nothing checked. It became quite apparent to all of us later on that not only did the seller know that there was really bad flooding problems with this home, the entire neighborhood knew about it. The realtors knew about it.
Oh my.
And the borough knew about it, the municipal code enforcement officer. So it became a real mess, and there was no real quick fix to this problem. This woman was forced to hire engineers in addition to attorneys. That lawsuit is still ongoing, and it was a real nightmare, all because it was a quick sale. I need to get in this property. Haste makes waste. I don't want to spend the money on an inspector. All the things that we talked about what not to do when buying a property.
And when reading the seller's disclosure, moral of the story, make sure everything is checked. And if it's checked and answered, if it's not, get it before you get into an agreement of sale.
Read it. As a realtor, Jackie, and as a proposed purchaser, I'm telling everyone, make sure you read it. It's not just enough to have it in front of you and say, okay, make sure every single question is checked and answered. It was very clear that was unchecked, and we were making a case that it was a intentional withholding of that information, which proves their knowledge, which is misrepresentation.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Grady Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And with us today is attorney Richard Finucci, and we're discussing the importance of seller's disclosure, how to properly fill them out, how to properly read them, and why they're so important. What is the statute of limitations to go back to a previous owner? If you own a property, you purchased it, how long do you, if there's a problem, and you discover it and you think that the prior owner knew about it and withheld it, like you just said, how long do you have to take it to the next level?
2 years, Jackie. That's mandated by the statute.
Okay. All right.
And recovery, by the way. I mean, you're not, you know, seller is opening themselves up if it's not completed properly or if they put inaccurate information on the disclosure, they're opening themselves up to a civil lawsuit whereby a buyer can sue for the actual damages that they have sustained. And that's a broad definition. I mean, it could be anywhere from the money that a person had to spend to correct the problem that had it been right up to the purchase price refund or higher.
So like these engineers and you and all these things that this person that came to you for help, she can go after all these other expenses that she's incurring as a result.
All those expenses would be sought to be recovered in the lawsuit. And, you know, that case has been ongoing 2 years now.
Wow. Wow. And any light at the end of the tunnel? Any resolution and forthcoming?
No.
No. Okay.
Not in the near future.
Well, good luck to you and good luck to her. I don't like to hear stories like that. But a material defect is a problem with the residential real property or any portion of it that would have a significant adverse impact on the value of the property. So that's why the seller's property disclosure is so important, and sellers need to take their time answering it. And I like to, when I meet with my sellers, I actually sit there with them to help them when they need to discuss how to answer certain questions on here. It's not easy. It is confusing. It's 9 pages long.
Yes.
It's quite lengthy.
Very detailed. But getting back to what we spoke about earlier, Jackie, in no way should the seller's disclosure substitute for a bona fide inspection of the property. And understand that in a seller's disclosure, a seller is only obligated to disclose things they know about.
If they don't know, they can't disclose.
That's correct.
Right.
And honestly, there's situations where somebody really doesn't know that, and it's only discovered later on. If you don't know, you don't know. You're only obligated to divulge what you know or based upon the best information available, should have known. You know, you can't make false statements. And by the way, if after it's signed, say a property's been on the market, often realtors will have a seller sign a seller's disclosure at the time of the listing contract with the realtor. And often that property might be on the market for many months, so maybe up to a year or more. And if there are any changes that occur, it's an incumbent on the seller and the realtors, I think, to make sure that those seller disclosures are updated and amended.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Good advice.
Because you will be held liable later on if they're not.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yes. And I think sometimes that's often forgotten during the course of a listing. And we're just about out of time. We had a great discussion with you regarding this and the importance of home inspections and seller's property disclosure statements. Seller's property disclosure is not a warranty or a guarantee, if I heard you correctly. It's information. Have a home inspection, even when you have a good seller's property disclosure statement in front of you. Continue with your home inspection, because latent defects, those are the defects behind walls, beneath floors, above ceilings, that people sometimes don't know about and need to find out about.
The key to a successful real estate purchase, Jackie, is having good people around you, starting with the realtor, having a knowledgeable realtor, and getting a competent real estate attorney on board. And this is not a plug for me at all. This is a plug for the entire real estate bar. It's so important. I think an attorney's services, if gotten involved from the very beginning, before the contract is signed, is very, very important and beneficial.
Thank you, Attorney Richard Finucci, for 6 weeks in a row. Before we close, Pat?
Yes, we have a great investment property at 1410 Sanderson Avenue in Scranton for only $149,000. This is a five-unit building with three bedrooms in each unit. The rent for each unit is $550. It generates a great cash flow with long-term tenants. The tenants pay their own heat, water, and electric. The owner pays the sewer. The taxes are very reasonable. So if you're looking for an investment property that has five units, three bedrooms in each unit, give us a call. About 1410 Sanderson Avenue in Scranton for only $149,000.
Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.